Hey, everybody, it's Will Bangura with Pet Talk today. I want to thank all of you listeners for your continued support. I need a huge favor. Would you please hit pause in just a second? Whatever platform you're listening to this podcast, if you love what we do, would you please give us a 5-star review? Giving a 5-star review is the best way you can say thank you because that allows our rankings to go higher. And that means that more people can benefit from the information that we're teaching and sharing on Pet Talk today. I don't want to take up any more of your time. I want to get into that show, but please, if you love what we do, please give us a review. Thank you.
Raised by wolves with canine DNA in his blood, having trained more than 24,000 vets, helping you and your fur babies thrive. Live in studio, it's Pet Talk today with Will Bangura, answering your pet behavior and training questions. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host and favorite pet behavior expert, Will Bangura.
Good Saturday morning, pet lovers. It's July 8th, National Coonhound Day. Anybody have a coonhound? Well, if you do, we're celebrating them. It's July 8th, National Coon Dog Day. How did everybody do on the 4th of July? Did you and your dog survive? Well, I hope so. We did a lot of talking about fireworks and noise sensitivities and how to help your dog. I'm Will Bangura, and you are listening to Pet Talk today. I'm here each and every Saturday morning at 12 o'clock noon Eastern time here on Facebook Live every Saturday, where I answer your dog training and dog behavior questions and help you to provide positive solutions to your problems. If you're brand new to Pet Talk today, let me talk a little bit about myself. As I said, I'm Will Bangura. I'm a dog behaviorist and a certified dog behavior consultant, as well as a certified professional dog trainer. I've been working with dogs professionally for over 36 years. I've helped over 24,000 pets and pet parents. And I specialize in dealing in some of the most difficult and severe behavior problems like separation anxiety. And we're going to be talking about that today. Aggression, fears, phobias, anxiety. I also work with, you know, the basic nuisance behaviors as well. So if you've got a problem that isn't quite as severe, if you've got a problem with barking or jumping or door dashing or getting on the counter or stealing your stuff or chewing things up, doesn't matter what the problem is, doesn't matter what kind of dog you have, doesn't matter how old your dog is, I can help you with any of the problems you have. So do me a favor, hit that like button, and also please hit that share button. I also want to talk to you about the Pet Talk Today audio podcast, because if you have not subscribed to the Pet Talk Today audio podcast, you're going to want to do that. You're going to want to go to Apple Podcast or Spotify or SoundCloud, any of, you know, Alexa, I think what, Echo, I think that's the name of their podcast platform. Go to Pet Talk Today. Do a Google search for Pet Talk Today podcast. Make sure that you subscribe, because oftentimes I'm going to be doing audio podcasts that are different, that are not here on Facebook. So you want to definitely make sure that you subscribe to the Pet Talk Today podcast. Also, if you're listening to us on a podcast, the audio podcast, and you love what we do, please give us a 5-star review. That way more people can benefit from what we do here at Pet Talk Today. As I said, I'm going to be talking about separation anxiety today. One of the things that we need to understand when it comes to separation anxiety is that things have gotten much, much worse since COVID. So if you take a look at this graph, now this is talking about all kinds of anxiety. Noise sensitivity in 2022, that rose over 700% over 2020. So just in 2 years, noise sensitivity problems have gone up over 700%. If you look at the bottom of that graph, separation-related behaviors. Look at that. Look at the 2020 bar, the blue bar, at separation-related behavior, and look at the red bar, There's been an increase of over 295% when it comes to separation anxiety. And then also fear of strangers. Fear of strangers for the first time has outpaced noise sensitivities to take the place of the number one fear or anxiety that that dogs have. So I want to talk about separation anxiety today because a lot of you are dealing with separation anxiety. You know, one of the first things that we need to do is identify what is separation anxiety. When a dog has true separation anxiety, they are having a panic attack. It is pure fear and panic. Now, mild separation anxiety, you might hear some barking, some whining, some crying. The dog might be pacing or panting, maybe lightly scratching at the door, trying to get out. But when we start to get into more of the moderate and severe separation anxiety, where we've got dogs that are absolutely frantic, doing everything they can to escape and get out, to the point of destroying everything in the house, being very destructive, and possibly even being very self-mutilating. You know, I've had clients with dogs that have jumped through windows and hurt themselves, dogs that have eaten through, scratched through doors and crawled under things and hurt themselves, dogs that were in crates while their pet parents were gone, having severe separation anxiety, biting at the metal crate, breaking their teeth, using their paws to try to escape, and cutting and bleeding of the paws because of how frantic they are. So separation anxiety is panic. And you need to have some empathy for that. If you've never had a panic attack, maybe you know someone who's had a panic attack, but this is pure panic. And it's probably the worst thing that a dog could experience is the separation anxiety. You know, dogs are very social creatures. They're pack animals. They want to be around their people. It's not natural. It's not normal for a dog to be all by itself. Now, I'm going to be talking about what you can do in terms of behavior modification and training. How do you help your dog who has severe separation anxiety relax, be calm, and what is the process that you need to go through to do that? But the first thing you need to do before you start doing behavior modification is get your dog to the veterinarian. Whenever you've got a severe behavior problem, the number one thing that you need to do is go to your veterinarian and rule out and make sure that there is not a medical cause or there's not medical contributing factors. Because I want you to think about it. If there's a medical cause or medical contributing factors, training and behavior modification is not going to touch those things. Those are things that we're going to have alternative ways to address. When we've got a dog with serious, I mean very serious separation anxiety, they're absolutely inconsolable, they're frantic, they're destroying everything, they're probably peeing and pooping in the house, losing control of their bladder and their bowel because they're so afraid, harming themselves, hurting themselves. One of the first things that probably needs to happen is the dog probably needs to be on behavior medication. Behavioral medicine. Now, I'm not a veterinarian. I can't give you medical advice, but what I can do is I can share with you my 30 plus years of experience and working with tens of thousands of dogs that have experienced this in their pet parents, that when it's very severe and they're in that panic, they don't have the ability to think. They don't have the ability to learn. They certainly, the little bit of logic and reasoning that they can do, which is about that of a two-year-old child cognitively, that shuts off. They are in a fight or flight state. So they're in the older amygdala, older part of the brain. They're not using that frontal cortex, the neocortex. They're not using the part of the brain that's responsible for thinking and learning and making sense out of the world using logic and reason and critical thinking. Everything is instinct and it's fight or flight. when they're in that state, there is no training and behavior modification that is going to help. When they're in that state, they are not in a position to learn, and they're not going to be able to remember. And oftentimes, that's why medication is needed. Now, imagine this. Imagine that you step outside the door and walk right back in, and you can't even step outside the door without your dog completely losing it. I mean, lose its mind. You're out there for 2 seconds, the dog's freaking out. If you can't even go out there for a second or two without your dog absolutely freaking out, it is so severe. Chances are, without medication, you're not going to be able to do the training and the behavior modification work. This is just a reality, folks. It'd be great if we could do everything without medication. And I'm not talking about medicines that cause your dog to be stoned or a zombie. Nobody wants a dog that is falling asleep. Nobody wants a dog where you lose that fun-loving personality. If the dogs that you know that are on medication are zonked out, those people need to go to a different veterinarian. There are other medications out there that don't knock you out. There are also some natural calming aids that are out there as well. And when we're talking about natural, you know, calming aids, we are also talking about things just like what you've heard about here, the Calm Dogs. Now, Calm Dogs, this natural supplement is not going to probably help dogs that are super, super, super severe. But for the dogs with mild and moderate separation anxiety, if you're looking for something natural, Calm Dogs is the number one calming aid for dog anxiety, fears, phobias, fireworks, storms, aggression, car rides, grooming, vet visits, you name it, reactivity. 98% of dogs that took Calm Dogs twice daily for 6 weeks saw improvement and a decrease in their anxiety. I created Calm Dogs 5 years of meticulous research and study to come up with something that actually worked. You know, there's so many different calming aids out there, and they don't work. Check out Calm Dogs at calmdogs.com, or you can go to doganxiety.com. Check it out today for your dog. I'm so confident that it can help your dog. My promise to you is that if it doesn't work for your dog after 45 days, after 6 weeks, contact me. I will give you 100% of your money back. That's how confident that I am. But like I said, if it's super severe, there's not a calming aid in the world naturally that's going to help your dog. You may need medication. Now, this does not mean if you have a dog that needs medication, it doesn't mean your dog has to be on medication A forever. We can wean them off, but it's something that we need to be able to do the work. And remember, if your dog is absolutely freaking out, we can't even walk out the door and walk back in without your dog freaking out. Your dog is in such a emotional state of panic, there's nothing we're going to do to train and teach the puppy or the dog that's like that. So that's one reason where medication is warranted. A dog that is severely hurting themselves, another indication where medication would be warranted. But medication allows us to be able to do the work. Let's say that we've got this dog that we can't even step out the door for a second without it completely losing its mind. Now imagine that same dog, we give medication, and we're able to step out the door for 20 seconds before it loses its mind. Now you might say, hey, the medication really didn't do anything. But it did a lot. We need that 20 seconds. We can work with that 20 seconds. We can take that 20 seconds where the dog's not losing its mind, and we can create a positive association with you leaving for 20 seconds. That's right. We can create a positive association with you leaving for 20 seconds using counter conditioning and desensitization. Okay. Now, there's some new studies. There's some new information when it comes to separation anxiety. Counter conditioning is something where it's always been used to change the underlying emotional response of the dog by pairing something positive like high-value food rewards with the trigger, in this case, the person leaving. What we found is that some of the dogs get overly excited, and that causes more anxiety when they're getting food when we're working with separation anxiety. So now the new rule, best practices, evidence-based, science-based practices that work with separation anxiety, we don't reward with food anymore. We're going to be talking about the specific techniques and what you need to do to help your dog when it comes to separation anxiety. And there's two things. One is helping them get comfortable with your absence. The second thing, which kind of comes before that, at least this is what you see before that, there are things called pre-departure cues. The patterns, the things that you do every day that signal to your dog, uh-oh, mom or dad is leaving. Picking up your keys. Putting on your work shoes or your work clothes. Grabbing your purse or your wallet. Putting on your sunglasses. I don't know what they are, but we all have what's called pre-departure cues that the dog picks up on, and that alerts the dog, uh-oh, mom or dad is leaving. And they start to panic before we ever walk out the door. That's a lot of dogs. So there's two things that we have to desensitize gradually, slowly, systematically. We've got to change the association that the dog has with absence, with you being gone. And we have to change the association the dog has with those pre-departure cues, like when you grab your keys. Change that association. Right now, maybe your dog panics when you grab your keys. What if every day, 20, 30 times throughout the day, we grabbed our keys and put them right back? I mean, literally, it took a second. Grab the key, put it back. And let the dog see this. Grab the key, put it back. Go about your business. Come back, grab the key, put it back. Go about your business. Grab the key, put it back. Go about your business. Do that so many times that it's the most boring thing in the world and the dog couldn't care less. Now, it's going to take a lot of repetition of you grabbing those keys and not leaving to change that emotional response and the association that your dog has with those keys or whatever the pre-departure cue is. Maybe it's your purse. Maybe it's a coat, although it's summer. Maybe it's work shoes, work clothes. Okay. Maybe it's you exiting a specific door or walking towards a door, like the door that leads to the garage. So pre-departure cues, we have to get the dog used to that gradually and systematically and change the association. Right now, those things mean, hey, mom or dad's leaving. That's scary. I'm going to start to panic. We're going to take away that association by changing the pattern. See, dogs are masters at figuring out patterns. Dogs go through their life, through the world, looking at cause and effect, black and white associations. That's how they think. That's how they make sense out of the world. Everything's black and white. Everything's a cause and effect association. And like I said, they're masters at picking up patterns. And we've got patterns to what we do. We've got patterns to when we leave and what we do as we're getting ready to leave. And those patterns become pre-departure cues. So we've got to change that as well as change the dog's response when we leave, when we're absent. Now, there's a lot of myths when it comes to separation anxiety. Take a little quick drink of the coffee here. So with separation anxiety, like I said, we've got a lot of myths. The first myth would be dogs with separation anxiety are just being manipulative or spiteful. And the fact of the matter is dogs don't experience spite or manipulation. They don't experience that like humans do. Separation anxiety is a genuine psychological condition in which a dog experiences distress when separated from its pet parents or a particular person. Now, this distress can manifest as behaviors like excessive barking, chewing, or pacing, and some of the other things that we talked about. Now, myth number two, punishment will solve the problem. Now, if you've been watching for a while, you know about punishment and my thoughts on it, but punishing a dog that's suffering from separation anxiety can often, and most always, make the problem worse. Anxiety is not a behavior. Think about it. Anxiety is not a behavior that can be corrected through punishment. It's an emotional response to a trigger, you leaving or the pre-departure cues. It's an emotional response that needs to be addressed in a very sensitive and understanding way. So we are all about needing to teach the dog how to have greater self-confidence, how to be calm, and how to relax and eventually get used to and adjusted to your absences. Another myth about separation anxiety is that people think all dogs are going to grow out of separation anxiety, when the fact is some dogs might improve as they mature and develop more confidence, but that's not always the case. Many dogs require behavior modification training, and in some instances, like I said, some dogs may need medication as well to help manage their anxiety. Another separation anxiety myth is that dogs with separation anxiety should not be left alone. Well, the truth is, while it's crucial to address and work through the anxiety, avoiding the issue by never leaving your dog alone is not a practical long-term solution. Gradual desensitization to being alone, along with positive reinforcement training and sometimes professional intervention, can help address the problem. Now, we're going to be talking more about absences and about, you know, should you leave the dog alone? Should you not leave the dog alone? How do you address that? How do you deal with that? We're going to talk all about that. Myth number five, leaving the TV or radio on will cure separation anxiety, when the fact of the matter is, while some background noise may help soothe some dogs, that's not the case with most of the dogs. Every dog is different. It's important to find a unique combination of techniques and strategies that are going to work best for your individual dog. Myth number six, only rescue dogs develop separation anxiety. Hey, we know that's not true. While it's true that sudden changes in environment or routine can trigger separation anxiety, it's not limited to rescue dogs. Dogs of any breed, any age, or history can develop separation anxiety, and it also can happen later on in life, believe it or not. Myth number seven, crating will solve separation anxiety. While crate training can provide a safe, secure space for dogs and can aid in house training, it's not a one-size-fits-all solution for separation anxiety. For some dogs, being confined in a crate can actually increase the actual anxiety. Now, let's start talking about what we need to do to address separation anxiety. The first thing that needs to happen, and nobody likes this. Now, this is not the fix, but it's the first step to the fix. You have to suspend all absences. What does that mean? That means while you're doing the training, while you're doing the behavior modification, while you're training your dog to be calm and relaxed and to handle you being gone, while you're doing that work, your dog cannot be alone. It's not until after you've done the behavior modification, it's not till after you've done the training, it's not till after your dog has learned to have a different emotional response to the pre-departure cues, have a different emotional response to the absence of the pet parent, that we can start leaving the dog alone. Now, I know a lot of you are saying, hey, how in the world am I going to do that? But let's first talk about why it's so important. I'm going to use an analogy. I've talked about this several times on different Pet Talk Today podcasts, but imagine the problem wasn't separation anxiety. Imagine the problem was a broken water pipe. What's the first thing that you're going to need to do in order to fix, in order to repair the water pipe that's broken? First of all, we got a mess. We got water going all over the place. It's a disaster. It's destroying everything. Kind of like when a dog has severe separation anxiety and they're destroying everything in the house. So can water from a broken water pipe. The first step, though, in fixing that broken water pipe is we've got to turn off the water completely. Once the water is turned off completely, now we're in a position to be able to start fixing the problem of the broken water pipe. But imagine trying to fix that broken water pipe and not turning the water off. We could be working really hard, right? Working frantically and getting nowhere. We're not getting results. What if we just turn the water off a little bit or turn the water down a little bit? We're still not going to fix that water pipe. We could turn it down to a trickle, and we probably are not going to be able to fix that water pipe. We need to turn it off completely. We fix the problem, then we turn it back on. When it comes to separation anxiety, that's exactly what needs to happen. It's not negotiable, people. I know you don't want to hear that. And I know you've got a lot of questions. What do I do? I've got to go to work. We're going to talk about that. But if you've got a dog, especially if you've got a dog with severe separation anxiety, it is not going to get better if your dog keeps experiencing these absences and keeps panicking and keeps having these just horrible emotional responses to the separation, the leaving. That's just going to get continued reinforcement. It's going to continue to get ingrained. It's going to continue to get more and more conditioned. And the anxiety is going to increase. So we have to start thinking about when we're doing the work, and we haven't even talked about the work yet, but we have to start talking about, okay, if my dog can't be left alone, what am I going to do for my dog? How am I going to help? How am I going to help my dog? So we need a list of ideas to help you suspend absences for your dog. What are some of the things that you can do so that your dog doesn't have to be alone while you're doing the behavior modification work, which might be 6 weeks, might be 8 weeks, might be shorter, might be longer? You can only go as fast as the dog's pace. We can't predict how long it's going to take. I'll tell you one thing. It's not going to happen in a day or two or three. It's not going to happen in a week. It's going to take time. While you are needing to stop having your dog be by itself, there are things that you can do. Doggy daycare. Instead of your dog being home alone, how about send your dog to doggy daycare? Just temporarily, until the work is done and your dog can be home alone. How about getting a dog sitter? That's another option. A dog walker that can be with your dog. How about friends, family members? How about bringing your dog to work? Is that an option? For some people, it is. How about working from home? Is that an option for a while for you? Bring your dog with you while you're running errands. Get curbside pickup. Get grocery delivery. You can also get some help, perhaps, people, enlisting some people to help watch your dog when you can't. Maybe check out a church volunteer group or a community volunteer group. Is there a responsible teenager that you know that can watch your dog? How about a Facebook community group? What about the Nextdoor app? Ask your veterinarian, ask your groomer, ask your dog walker or dog sitter for referrals. Ask friends or family members for dog sitting referrals. Put up flyers up around the community, at community centers, at churches, at coffee shops. Ask your vet, ask your groomer if you can hang a flyer in their waiting room. Is there a college student that's looking for a side gig that maybe can watch your dog? What about a retired adult that's looking for a side gig and is bored? That'd be great. And then, of course, there are things that we can hire people for that specifically help with that is rover.com, care.com, wagwalking.com. All of those are options. It's not easy. I didn't say it was easy. I want you to remember it's temporary. But I'm sorry to tell you, if you, especially if you got severe separation anxiety, your dog can't be alone by itself until you've done the work. It's probably not going to get better. You're probably wasting your time. You're probably trying to fix a broken water pipe and water's running out everywhere because you didn't turn off the water. Turning off the water means we avoid the trigger. Avoiding the trigger means the dog's not left alone. Now, let's talk about gradual and systematic desensitization. Okay, let's talk about gradual and systematic desensitization. Gradual, not quickly. Systematic, step by step. This is a slow process. The first thing you need to do is you need to find out where is your dog's threshold. Where does your dog begin to experience anxiety and stress related to your absence? Now, we're going to take those pre-departure cues that we were talking about, whether it's getting your keys, getting your shoes, putting on a certain coat or work clothes, grabbing your purse or your wallet, going to a certain door to walk out. We're going to address those in just a second. We're going to talk about the actual absence, you walking out the door. First thing you need to do is find out where your dog's threshold is. That is, how long can you be out before, this is before your dog starts to experience stress. Now, what we need to do is we need to set up some kind of a camera and a microphone. You know, they've got nanny cams, baby monitors. You can set up your own smartphone. You know, like I've got an iPhone, I could put it on FaceTime the dog, set it up, and I'm watching and hearing what's going on. But I want to time how long can I be gone before my dog starts experiencing the mildest, this is important, the mildest stress. Okay. And what I want to do is I want to then, let's say that's 20 seconds. Maybe I'm gone. I'm watching my dog on a camera, listening to my dog as I'm gone, and my dog's okay, but after about 20 seconds, my dog starts to pace, or my dog starts to pant, or my dog starts to vocalize, or starts scratching at the door, grabs something in its mouth that doesn't belong to the dog, or starts destroying something. I'm going to take a look at what was that time stamp. Where was it right before it happened? So if I want to go out for 20 seconds and I find that, hey, my dog starts getting the first signs of stress at 18 seconds, I'm going to start going out that door for about 12 to 15 seconds, and I'm going to come back in. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to go out the door. 12 seconds, come back in. Go out the door for 12 seconds, come back in. Go out the door for 12 seconds, come back in. Go out the door for 12 seconds. In, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. I did not coin this term, but I want you to think about this and remember this. Be a bore at the door. We want the act of you going in and out that door to be the most boring thing that your dog ever experiences. Your dog is going to need to see you go in and out that door so many times at 12 seconds, which by the way, doesn't bother the dog, that it happens so often that your dog doesn't even care to watch you go out the door at 12 seconds. Okay. You're going to do that for about a week or two. Every day, you need to go out as often as you can. Just in and out, in and out, in and out the door, in and out the door. Okay? In and out the door for 12 seconds. And that's if your dog goes over threshold at 20 seconds. You're going to back it up a little. Now, if you can get out there for a minute before your dog starts to show even the slightest signs of anxiety or stress, then go for 5 to 8 minutes. Come back in. Now, when you leave, completely ignore your dog. And ignore your dog for at least a half an hour before you leave. When you come home, completely ignore your dog. One of the things that worsens separation anxiety, one of the things that contributes to separation anxiety is when the pet parent makes a big deal about leaving. Oh, I'm going to see you later. Be a good dog. It's okay. Mommy, daddy's going to be back. Be a good dog. That's problematic. That gets the dog amped up, puts them already in a state of heightened anxiety and arousal. Even though you might think they're having a good time, we're getting them amped. We don't want them. We want them calm. We want them relaxed. We want them completely aloof. We want our leaving to be boring to them. Okay? So in and out the door, for the amount of time that your dog can handle before it gets upset. And you're going to do that over and over and over as many times as you can every day. And you're going to do that for a duration of time. Maybe it's going to be a week. Maybe it's going to be 2 weeks. I don't know. As you add more time, let's say we're at about a minute. And we're out and we've done that for a week or two. In and out, in and out, in and out. We're a bore at the door. Then after a week or two, maybe now we're going to add another additional 20 seconds. Now, have that camera going. Make sure there's a microphone so you can hear your dog as well as see your dog. Because again, at any point, if your dog starts showing even the mildest signs of stress and anxiety, you've gone too long, too soon. You need to shorten the absence and the duration. You've got to keep your dog below threshold. If your dog experiences stress with you leaving, we're doing it wrong. Your dog has to not experience stress with you leaving, and that's got to happen over and over and over and over and over many, 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 many times to recondition and change the dog's emotional response to being aloof. Now, at any time, I'm going to say it again, you start adding more time of absence. Your dog starts to get upset. You have added too much time too soon. You need to back up and shorten the time. Little by little, gradually, systematically, you're going to add more and more time to your absence. Remember earlier we talked about how dogs are masters at figuring out patterns, that the way they understand the world, the way they think, the way they process information, is they're looking for black and white cause and effect associations. Okay. Well, if every time we walk out the door, it keeps getting longer and longer and longer and longer, even though the dog is below threshold, we've got a dog that's not showing signs of anxiety. There are some dogs that all of a sudden, boom, as we're adding time and things are going well, now all of a sudden we've got a dog that's getting anxious. Why? Why? We were doing everything right. The dog, and not every dog, but some dogs, they're going to figure out the pattern. They're going to say, oh my God, every time my mom or dad leaves, it's longer. Oh my God, it's going to keep getting longer and longer and longer. And they start to panic again. So one of the techniques that you need to be mindful of as you're doing the work, as you're doing the behavior modification, the gradual and systematic desensitization with the dog, as you're adding more time to your absence, you're going to need to vary the time and vary it at different times that you have an absence. What do I mean by that? All right, let's say we've gotten up to 4 minutes. I'm walking out that door for 4 minutes, I come back in. I walk out the door for 4 minutes, I come back in. I walk out the door for 4 minutes, I come back in. I walk out the door for 30 seconds, I come back in. I walk out the door for 4 minutes, I come back in. I walk out the door for 4 minutes, I come back in. I walk out the door for 4 minutes, I come back in. I walk out the door for 2 minutes, I come back in. I'm throwing in short duration absence while I'm doing the longer duration. I'm mixing it up. I'm varying the time. In the long run, yeah, we're getting longer and longer and longer. It's kind of like the stock market where it goes up and down, up and down, up and down, but we want the trend to continue to go up. So we want the trend to be we're adding more and more time to our absence. But as we're doing that, we need to present the dog with short duration absence as well. So the dog doesn't figure out, hey, there's a pattern. that it keeps getting longer and longer and longer, and then the dog starts getting upset. Does that make sense? Really important to do that, okay? Now, that same idea kind of brings us around to pre-departure cues. Those are the things that we do in our day-to-day life, our day-to-day activity, that will signal to the dog, uh-oh, mom and dad's going somewhere. What are some of those things? Well, we talked about it earlier. Grabbing your keys. Maybe putting on work clothes. Maybe work shoes. Maybe grabbing your purse. Maybe grabbing your wallet. You know, as you start to think about it, what are the things you do as you're getting ready to leave? And at what point does your dog start to get nervous? Because dogs typically will pick up on those pre-departure cues. They happen every day. We're creatures of habit and pattern. And it signals to them, hey, mom and dad's going. So they oftentimes start getting the separation anxiety and the distress and the panic before we walk out the door. So there's two things we've got to desensitize. Yes, the time duration of the absence, we have to definitely desensitize that. But we also have to desensitize and change the perception, the association, and the emotional response when you grab your keys, when you grab your purse, when you put on work clothes, whatever the pre-departure cue is. So one of the things we begin to do is present those pre-departure cues and not leave, because right now they're all associated with leaving. Okay. And remember, let's rewind. We're not leaving the dog alone. Remember, we've got dog sitters, family, friends. We've got volunteers, a responsible teenager. We've hired a pet sitter. We've taken the dog to doggy daycare. The dog is not being home alone while we're doing the work. I then start working on my pre-departure cues. I grab my keys. I put them back. I grab my keys. I put them back. Grab my keys. Put them back. Grab my keys. Take a step. Put them back. Grab my keys. Take a step. Put them back. Now, at any point, the dog starts getting nervous. I've had those keys out too long. It might be just reaching for the keys and not even grabbing them and having them out for a while. If that's where your dog's anxiety starts, then you just start reaching. Reach, pull back. Reach, pull back. Reach, pull back. Reach, pull back. If you can get to grab the keys and put it back. If you can grab the keys and hold it, grab the keys and hold it, put it back. If you can grab the keys, hold it, and take a step towards the door, do that. But you've got to look at, where does my dog begin to show distress? And you got to just back up before that. And that's as far as you can go for a while, repeating that pattern. And you're going to do that with each and every pre-departure cue. I'm Will Bangura. If you are just joining us, I'm here on Facebook Live and I do the Pet Talk Today audio podcast each and every Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time. I'm here for an hour where I answer your questions and help you with your dog behavior and training issues. Today, we're talking about separation anxiety. Now, if you've got a question about your dog's training, if you've got a question about your dog's behavior, do me a favor. Go ahead and type that question in the comments section below. And also let me know where you're watching from. Where are you watching from? And what kind of dogs do you have? And just for fun, if your dog has nicknames, do you have different nicknames for your dog? I got all kinds of nicknames for my dog. My dog's name is Boo. We call the dog Boo, Mama Boo, Boolicious. If you've got a nickname for your dog, put that in the comments too. I would love to find out what your dog's nicknames are. And also, hey, if you got a picture, shoot a picture, put it in the comments. We love to see that. Please hit that like button, hit that share button so that more people can benefit from what I do here at Pet Talk Today. Also, I want to let you know that if you have not subscribed to the audio podcast of Pet Talk Today, go to Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to your podcast. Do a search for Pet Talk Today. Make sure that you subscribe, because I oftentimes are doing audio podcasts that you're not going to see here on Facebook, and you don't want to miss those. Also, you can visit my website if you'll go to dogbehaviorist.com. Again, that's dogbehaviorist.com. And there's lots of resources on the website. There are dozens and dozens of articles, everything from jumping to barking to aggression to fears to phobias, you name it, eating the dog that eats the poop, right? Dogs that are mouthing, puppy biting, destroying the house, crate training. Chances are, if you're dealing with a problem with your dog, there's an article at dogbehaviorist.com. Go to the website, go to the menu, click on articles, and you can benefit from that as well. Now, in severe cases of separation anxiety, you can try it yourself, you can try these things, but you may need to have the assistance of a professional. Make sure that you're hiring the right kind of professional. Make sure that their solution is evidence-based, science-based. Make sure they're not using punishment, that they're using positive reinforcement, okay? And make sure that they've got some certification and that it comes from a legitimate certifying body. If they're certified through the Certification Council for Professional Dog Trainers as a certified behavior consultant or a certified professional dog trainer, you can trust that they probably know what they're doing. If you find a certified dog behavior consultant from the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants, they're another legitimate certifying body. The problem is, folks, this industry, the dog training industry, is not regulated. There are no guidelines. There are no rules. There's no requirement for education, certification, standards. Anybody can call themselves a dog trainer and go into business, and they can do whatever they want. They could, you know, obviously it's animal cruelty to beat a dog upside the head, but if that's their method, then that's their method. So you've got to be careful when you're out there selecting somebody to help you with your dog that they have some formal education. Regular dog trainers, they typically are going to deal with teaching dogs behavior like sit, down, come when called. You really need a certified behavior consultant, certified animal behavior consultant that specializes in some of these severe behaviors, because separation anxiety is severe. It's about changing the underlying emotional state. And that takes time. And oftentimes we need to make little adjustments. You know, I'm giving you some tips and ideas on how to address this, but every dog's an individual. So you might need to find someone to help you. You might need to go to a veterinarian or a veterinary behaviorist and get medication and use that in conjunction with behavior modification. When you're working with a professional, look for those red flags. If they're talking about dominance, if they're talking about alpha roles, if they're talking about, hey, you need to show the dog who's boss, if they talk about using a prong collar, a choke collar, or an electronic collar, if they're talking about corrections, which is just another word for using aversives to cause fear, pain, or intimidation, run. Run away. The last thing, especially if you've got a dog with separation anxiety or any kind of anxiety, the last thing you want to do is create more anxiety. And that's what punishment does. Okay? This needs to be all positive. And these things work. Hey, I've had dogs that and pet parents with dogs that have had just horrendous, severe separation anxiety, where, remember I was talking about, you can't even walk out the door for a second and the dog is losing its mind, where the dog is defecating because of fear, urinating because of fear, destroying everything, hurting itself, trying to get out, causing itself to be bloody, being frantic, inconsolable. We've had dogs like that. We've used a combination of medication along with behavior modification, or supplements and behavior modification, and we have great success if we do the work. Those people that don't have success with this separation anxiety protocol are usually the people that don't abide by the first guideline, and that is, we need to suspend all absences. I know, nobody likes that, but it's not going to get better if we keep leaving the dog by itself. So while we're doing the work, we need to figure out who's going to watch the dog. What am I going to do with the dog for this month or two that I've got to do this work? Is it doggy daycare? Do I need to hire a dog sitter? Do I have family or friends or a responsible teenager that can help me? These are the things that you need to do. Now, we talked about gradually and systematically adding more and more time to your absence. Okay. We talked about the pre-departure cues and how to desensitize your dog to those cues. And that's getting that stuff out. You know, getting dressed for work, not leaving. Taking those clothes off, getting your regular clothes on, then going back, putting the work clothes on, doing that 5 or 6 times. I know it's a pain. None of this is difficult, but it sure is inconvenient. And I understand that, and I can empathize with you. And I know it's a challenge. But your dog is suffering. Your dog is panicking. These are things that we have to do if we want to be successful. Now, the other thing that we need to talk about and begin to do when we've got dogs with anxiety, separation anxiety, what are you doing for canine enrichment? You know, a lot of dogs are just bored to death. A lot of anxiety and anxiety-related behavior is related to, not necessarily completely caused by, but it contributes to the bad behavior, and that's boredom. Boredom. What are you doing for canine enrichment? You need to be stimulating your dog physically. You need to stimulate your dog mentally. Your dog needs to have 20 minutes of aerobic exercise every day. Aerobic exercise, that means running. 20 minutes every day. If you're going for a casual little walk and thinking that's good enough exercise for your dog, it's not. Your dog needs to sprint for 20 minutes a day. Aerobic exercise. The other thing is that you need to stimulate your dog mentally. Getting puzzle games, any kind of a scent work game. You know, I love the puzzles where you hide the treats and the toys and they got to find it. But you could just hide treats or your dog's food around the house and make your dog have to forage and search for it. You know, that's the way dogs got their food when they were in the wild. Nobody put it in a bowl and gave it to them. They had to forage for their food. So, you know, getting a sniff mat, doing scatter feeding, these are things that can help stimulate them. Getting puzzles. Okay. If you're not familiar with canine enrichment and how to stimulate them mentally and physically, again, you can go to my website at dogbehaviorist.com. Go find the articles. I've got an article on canine enrichment. Go to the article section at dogbehaviorist.com. Find the article on canine enrichment. Also, if you're not familiar with counter conditioning, if you're not familiar with desensitization, which are the tools that we use to help any dog with anxiety, fears, phobias, aggression, reactivity, you need to listen to the Pet Talk Today audio podcast number 98, episode 98. Episode 98 is over an hour of counter conditioning and desensitization. Check that out. Also, go to the dogbehaviorist.com website, go to the article section, find the article on counter conditioning and desensitization. And after you read through that article, if you get down to the bottom of the article, you're going to see that podcast. I highly recommend that you get that. The other thing, dogs with their anxiety, it can be displayed and it can be shown in very subtle signs. You need to understand canine body language, or you might be having a dog that's having stress and anxiety and you're not seeing it because you don't recognize the little signs like a yawn, a tongue flick, a paw raise or a lift. So Brenda Aloff wrote a great book. You can get it on Amazon. And the name of the book is Canine Body Language, an Illustrated Guide. But if you go to my website, I've got articles on canine body language at dogbehaviorist.com. And there are resources within the article on canine body language at my website, dogbehaviorist.com, that you can find some illustrated guides to canine body language, an online course to canine body language, some free videos on YouTube for canine body language, as well as Brenda Aloff's book on canine body language. But that's critical. Understanding canine body language when you've got a fearful, aggressive, anxious, reactive dog, you are not going to have success if you don't know their body language. So that's absolutely critical. Need to take a second to talk about Calm Dogs, our sponsor, not just our sponsor, but a labor of love for myself. I created Calm Dogs. Calm Dogs is the number one world's best calming aid for dog anxiety, or it's free. You know, there's a lot of calming aids out there, natural calming aids that make a lot of promises. Unfortunately, if you've tried them, you know, like I learned, that most of them don't work or they do little to nothing. It was because of that that I did 5 years of meticulous research and development to create Calm Dogs. Calm Dogs has 21 natural ingredients, vitamins, minerals, herbs, amino acids that are there to help calm your dog. It's non-sedating. It will not sedate your dog. It does take a few weeks to kick in. It's like medication. But go to calmdogs.com. Learn more about it or go to doganxiety.com. Again, that's calmdogs.com or doganxiety.com. It comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. My promise to you is very simple. It either works for your dog or it's free. But check out Calm Dogs. Let me take a look at the comment section here and see if I've got any questions here. Let's see. Janice, good morning. Good morning. Brian, good morning. Okay. Yvonne says, hello. My pet goes crazy barking when I leave. Her name is Ozzy, or Osi, which is a miniature Australian shepherd. And I just lost your comment. Where is it here? Who I also call Pumpkin. Oh, I love it. And you live in Coachella Valley, California. Beautiful place, Coachella. Wonderful, wonderful. Like I said, if you've got a dog that has separation anxiety, you need to have a lot of empathy for your dog. Your dog is having a severe panic attack. Your dog doesn't want to do that. And listen, you know, another myth that's out there is that if you console a dog that has anxiety, you're going to make it worse. No, you're not. Anxiety is not a behavior. It's an emotional state. You can't reinforce an emotional state. So give your dog as much comfort, as much love, as much support as you possibly can. You know, there are other things out there, compression vest, the thunder shirt or jacket. Not every dog is going to benefit from that, but some compression vests like the thunder shirt can help some dogs with anxiety. The dog appeasing pheromone, you know, the Adaptil, I think, or comfort zone is what it's called. You can either spray it on like a bandana, or you can put it in it's like a plug-in, like an air freshener. And what it is, when the mother has a litter, the mother dog produces this pheromone. Dog appeasing pheromone is what we call it. And that pheromone helps keep the puppies calm and relaxed. Well, scientists have synthesized that pheromone and they put it in a little spray or a plug-in, like an air freshener. And this can help some dogs. I'm not saying it's going to help all dogs. Again, the more severe the separation anxiety, the more non-pharmaceutical interventions are not going to work. There is a place for medication. And trust me, I'm not about putting every dog on medication. I'm not about putting every dog on a supplement. But some dogs with mild or moderate separation anxiety, they're going to need a supplement as well as behavior modification or medication. Dogs with severe separation anxiety, they're definitely going to need medication along with the behavior modification. But you've got to remember, it starts with what? Turning off the water completely. If you started this podcast with me, you understand we cannot fix a broken water pipe as long as the water's running. You are not going to be able to fix your dog's separation anxiety as long as you keep having absences from your dog. And that's the most challenging thing about dealing with separation anxiety, is that the time we're doing the work, while we're doing the behavior modification, we've got to figure out what we're going to do with our dog because we can't leave the dog. And again, I talked about things like doggy daycare, getting a dog sitter, a dog walker, friends or family members, bringing your dog to work, working from home, bringing the dog with you while you run errands and get curbside pickup, curbside grocery delivery, or have the groceries delivered to your house, church or community volunteer groups to help you, a responsible teenager, a Facebook community group, the Next Door app, asking your vet or your groomer for referrals for someone to watch your dog, asking your vet or your groomer, can I put up a flyer in your place? Okay. And then there's rover.com, care.com, and wagwalking.com. You can utilize all of those. Hopefully this has been helpful. You know, it's horrible to see our pets suffer with separation anxiety, but I want you to know this works. This is tried and true. The only time this protocol does not work for separation anxiety is when you don't follow the protocol. But that's like anything else in life, right? If we put the time in, if we put the work in, we're going to get results. Well, that music means that I am out of time. I appreciate everybody that has been here watching the video. I appreciate all your support on the podcast. Please subscribe to the Audio Pet Talk Today podcast. Practice this with your dog. Work with your dog. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And I'll see you next Saturday, 12 o'clock Eastern time for another Pet Talk Today. Have a good day. I'm out of here.